while Odds Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
When you think about the word freedom, it's quite a broad term, isn't it? And freedom often, in its meaning, it lends itself to the context in which you're using it. So you could be free from something or free to do something, right? And in our text today, the Lord is inviting us, those who believe in him, to participate in something that's greater than us, and that is the freedom that he gives. That's the freedom that he gives. So our text is taken from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 32 to 36. But just to bring some context to the text, because our text starts in the middle of a sentence. So it was read earlier. Can I ask the media team to just put it up again? It starts in the middle of a sentence. And so I'd like to go just one verse back so we can get some context. And so I'll read from the NIV. And it goes as follows. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said, "and have never been slaves to any man on earth." "What do you mean, set free?" And Jesus replied, "You are slaves of sin, every one of you. And slaves don't have rights, but the Son has every right there is. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now we've heard the story of original sin. We've heard it so many times. It's been said so many times. And if you've been in church for a very long time, you know the story of Adam and Eve. They ate the apple. They made the wrong decision, right? And it's so easy for us to kind of separate ourselves from that scenario. We often look at that as a one-off event, something that happened in the Garden of Eden, and it was never our fault. It was their fault, right? They made that decision. God gave them free will, and they chose the wrong decision. And we kind of separate ourselves from that a little bit, don't we? But the truth of the matter is that we kind of all have the same free will. Amen? Amen. We've been given that free will. And God has also given us the same choice to make. And daily, we wear the weight of making the same decision they made, either to obey or to disobey, either to believe or to not believe. And really and truly, what happened to them in the garden isn't something afar from us. It's not too far from us. It's closer than we think. Now, just to bring some context to what's happening here in this text, Jesus has been in a very long, lengthy debate with the Jews and the Pharisees. He has spent a very long time trying to persuade them that he is indeed the Son of God. And he is coming back from a very long trip. He's just fed the 5,000. And immediately after, the Bible tells us that a crowd began to follow him. And there were many people following him. So about 5,000 people. And he was swamped with these followers. Can you just imagine? There's so many of us in church. Imagine one person standing here, or just where you are, everybody just swamping towards you, wanting to speak to you, wanting to talk to you. Imagine 5,000 of us trying to do that. And these people all had the same question. They wanted to speak to him. They wanted to find out who he was. They wanted to experience what he had. And Jesus, knowing the hearts of these people, turned to them and told them, I know that you are coming to me because of what I have, not because of who I am. And what you seek from me isn't what you need. In fact, what you really need is what I bring from heaven. There's a greater need that you have that I want to meet. And it's far beyond just healing you, resolving your problems and your issues, bringing you whatever it is that you are desiring here on this earth. There's something greater. There's a greater need inside of you. There's a thirst that you have that I want to quench. And this scenario happens time and time again where Jesus meets individuals who are seeking some kind of truth. They want to come to some kind of resolve. And we know in those times that the Jews were experiencing some sort of oppression. I mean, they had some liberty, but there was an oppression that they were experiencing from the Romans. They were heavily taxed. Worship was not as it should be. The Pharisees, who were the teachers of that time, were arguing with the Sadducees, who were in charge. They were the judges of that time. You could say they were the authorities. And you had the Sadducees, who were the lawyers of that time, who were in charge of overseeing the Jewish community. And these people were arguing about what is right, how we should worship, who can worship, who can't worship, how to do life as a Jew. But there was something in the air. People were desperate and in need of something far beyond what the eye could see. People were desperate. They wanted God. They needed God. They were desperate to meet with God. They knew that Messiah was coming. And bear in mind, this was a huge society. You had all sorts of people. You had Elites, you had people who were very poor, you had the middle class, you had various kinds of people living together in this type of situation where they needed a helper. Everyone in that community at that time was experiencing oppression. They wanted an answer. And just like those people in that time, we are also experiencing that same kind of oppression. It feels like for a lot of us, especially those of us who are in church, who are saved, who are born again, it's like, Lord, when? Some of us are crying, Lord, Maranatha, when are you coming back? The world seems to be getting worse and worse. And there's a whole kind of confusion, even within the church, about what is the right way of worship. You know, how to interpret scripture. There's a confusion. And it's the truth. And some of us are tired. We've experienced salvation. We've done the whole baptism thing. We've gotten into the pool. We've ticked the boxes. And we come to church on Sunday. We pay our tithes. And, you know, we're faithful givers. You know, we do our dues. But we ask the question, Lord, when? When will you remove the suffering? When will you give comfort, Lord? When will you end this? When will you change our communities, Lord? When will you lift this burden that I carry? When, Lord? When will I stop doing this same thing over and over again? When will I stop lying? When will I overcome this thing that is within me, that wars against what you are trying to do in my life? When, Lord? When will it end? We ask the same questions. And for some of us, it's, but God, I've come to you. I've done all that I need to do, but it feels like I can't overcome this. I don't know about you, church, but I wail over my sin. Do you? No? It's just me? Just like Adam and Eve, I contend with, sometimes I contend with, but did the Lord really say? You know, he said in his word that he would deliver. And, you know, it feels like it's a bit clunky. You know, you said you will heal, Lord, but, you know, I know that I'm not experiencing it now. And I know you said I will be healed when I get to heaven, but I know that you can just change it in a twinkle of an eye. Why don't you just do it? Why the suffering? Why does it keep going on and on? Why can't I just get over myself? Why can't I get it right? For some of us, it's our sin that we cry over, we wail over. How comes I can't stop lying? How comes I can't stop doing this thing? How comes I can't just get it right? What's wrong with me? It's one hurdle after the other. After you get over one, then the next one, then the next one, and the next one. And we cry, Lord, Jesus, come. And Jesus is addressing the Jews, and they are also fed up. They're in that place where they're saying, you know, we're ready for Messiah. We need help. We need out. When will he come? And Jesus time and time again tells them, I am the Son of God. I've come to set you free. I've come to deliver you. I've come and I bring salvation. I've come to redeem you. But they don't adhere. Some of them even reject him as the Son of God because he hasn't come in the form that they wish he would. He hasn't done the things that they wish he would. He isn't dressed like how they wish he would be. He's not saying the things that they want to hear. Because they've made an idol of who they think God should be, what he should look like, the things that he should do. But you say you're a healer, you should heal. You know, you're a perfecter of my faith. And so therefore you should deliver me from this sin now. It's right now. Set us free, Lord. If you say we are your people and, you know, we are the people called by you, a people set apart by you, then why don't you just set us free from the Romans? Why are you talking all of this strange talk about forgiving our enemies? What's the strange talk about? What's the strange teaching for? And so in verse 31, Jesus says to the Jews who had believed in him, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. And what he's saying here is not just to get hold of, but to meditate on, to ponder on, to consider, to embrace, to believe in. If you hold on to my teachings, if you truly believe that the water that I bring will set you free, indeed it will turn into a floodgate of water bursting out of you. If you truly believe that even in your sickness that I can use you to heal, I can use you to bring hope. Even in your despair that I can use you as a tool here on earth to change someone's chaos into order. If you believe indeed in my teachings and what I have said to you to hold on and to trust in me and to walk the path that I set before you, if indeed you trust in me and you walk in my way, then you truly are my disciple. And he says, and you will know the truth when you hold on to my teaching, in spite of what it feels like, in spite of the struggle. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What Jesus says here in verse 32 is so profound. It's so profound. We know that now, on this side of the Bible, that what Jesus is saying is to know him. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so by truth, we know that Jesus is referring to himself. And although it is easy to assert that that right here, we have to think about what it might have meant for the people then hearing him. If you hold on to my teachings, and if you trust in me, and if you believe in what I've said, even though the world is still in chaos and things look the way that they look and your life isn't perfect and things are not working out and you look around you and you see pain and you see hurt and you see suffering, if you hold on to my teachings, then you are truly my disciple. And if you do what I have said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you will know the truth. Then you will truly know who I am. Then you will truly know what I have come on this earth to do. Then you will know that it's my agenda, not yours, and that my agenda is trustworthy, because I have a plan which is greater than you. It's far greater than what you can think or imagine. It's for your good. And not just for your good, but for the good of others. Because indeed, Jesus' teachings and his sayings and the things that we go through and how life is panning out isn't what we ideally would like. But it is part of something bigger than us. And like I said earlier, Adam and Eve, if you remember, they had a choice, right? And it was meant to be their choice, and they made the mistake. But yet again, somehow, the same power has been given to us, and we also have a choice. Their choice created chaos. Our choice also creates chaos. He said, if you grab hold of what I give, if you grab hold of my teaching, if you take hold of it, then you will know me. You know, to know is something intimate, right? If you say you know someone, I mean, now we use it nearly-weely. We say, oh, you know, I know this woman, but we don't really know her. I think the knowing Jesus is talking about here is an intimate knowing. There's an intimate knowing. You know, we've lost the art of spending time with Jesus and just being with him alone, because time is just passing so fast, and life is happening. There's so much to do. There's so much to tick off. There's so much to live out. Right? Life is so busy. And we lose the art of knowing Jesus. And what he's saying is, if you hold on to my teachings, if you take my word and you ponder on it, you wait on me in that waiting place. If you trust my teaching, if you listen to what I said, and you really know that I am the Son of God, then the truth will set you free. From what, we say? Set you free from what? Set you free from the chaos that is within this world. But it isn't just in this world. It's in our communities. It's in our families. It's within us. There's a chaos that lurks within. And Jesus is dealing with that chaos. And he wants to grab hold of it, churn it, dig it out of us, cut it out. And then fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we might become rivers of living waters pouring out on others. that we might become a channel by which he can water this world, by which he can transform the world, so that we can become agents of order in a chaotic world, if you hold on to my teachings. And they asked him, they say, he said, my teachings will set you free. And, you know, they ask him a question. And in the question, you can see that there's either some sort of denial or that they are just not understanding what he means, because what he's saying is too profound. What do you mean we will be set free? We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to any man on this earth. What are you talking about? What do you mean we will be free? What does it mean? What you're saying, we don't understand. What do you mean we will be free? It's a hard thing to grasp. It's a hard thing to understand. But what Jesus is actually saying is, if you hold on to my teachings, if you take the time out to sit with me and you learn my ways and you read my word, I will come and dine with you. I will come and be with you. I will come and spend time with you. And I will show you another place, which is the secret place where you can find hope, where you can find peace, and you can find strength for this time, for the now, for the here. And through that, I can transform your reality, your paradigm, how you see life and how you see the world, so that you can see the bigger picture of the workings that I'm working. You see, church, God is building a building. He's building a house. God is building a house. And he calls us to be co-workers with him. And whilst we build our lives upon the rock, let us also remember to take hold of the truth that is before us. In verse 34, Jesus replies to them, "You are slaves of sin, every one of you. And slaves don't have rights, but the Son has every right there is. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free." You are slaves of sin, every single one of you. You are slaves of sin, every single one of you. A theologian, Dennis Jans, writes this in his book, Martin Luther. "At the very heart of Christian theology, there is a fundamental correlation between sin and salvation. Or to put it another way, Christianity is about salvation. And for this to make any sense, there must be something to be saved from, and that something is sin." I want to be here and encourage you and tell you, yay, Jesus is coming to save and change your life, and he's going to make everything better tomorrow, and all things are going to turn around for your good. But sometimes we need to sit with this reality, church, that we're living in a fallen world, and we have responsibilities. You see, the person to your left or to your right, they might not be here tomorrow. But God, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a vessel to be a blessing to somebody who's near? Because you see, the freedom that Christ has given us is not just for us. It's a liberty to something. Christ has set us free, and it is for freedom, the Bible says, that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But to what means? To what end? Jesus is building a building. Amen? Amen. We are no longer in, quote unquote, some of us, in danger of hellfire. Right? He saved us, he has set us free. But what now? This scripture is calling us to grab hold. It's an invitation for us to grab hold of truth. To not get comfortable. Just like these Jews. We are children of Abraham. What do we need to be free from? What do we need to be free from? We have salvation. I've been saved. I go to church. I tick the box. I do what I need to do. Right? Every Sunday. I'm active. And when my time comes, I'll pack up and I'll go and meet the Lord. But you see, one day we will all meet with Jesus. And we will have all of us to give an account of our time here. Yes, we will not all face judgment like those who are not in him, but we will have to give an account, church. And that is the truth and the reality. We will all have to give an account. And in this time of Easter, I'm faced with that question. You know, what account will I give for the now? What account will I give for the now? And in all my doings in this church and in the wider church, what account will I give? What will be my answer? Church, have you thought about what your answer will be? Have I made good use of the time that the Lord has given me, the opportunities he has given me, the conversations he has placed me in? Have I given good thought to it? Have I made good use of it? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and yes, the law of sin is at work in us and in the world, yes. But he has given us power. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we have that power. What are we going to do with it? Let's apply that truth. This invitation from Jesus, he's saying, come and grab hold of this truth. Come and know me. And if you know me, indeed, you will be free. Because I have set you free from sin. You do have a choice. You can step out. You don't have to stay where you are. Life is busy, but we can make time, church. If you're here and you're part of this family, God has called you to this community, to this house, to your neighbor, the person next to you. He's called you to your family, to your school, to your workplace. Grab hold of the truth. Tell your neighbor, say, grab hold of the truth. Because if you don't, the devil will grab hold of you. An idle mind is a dancing ground for the enemy. It is. Have you ever spent a day where you just haven't grabbed hold of truth, where you haven't been in to know the Lord and spent time with him? I don't know about you, but my entire day goes to waste. Right? The day is upside down and everything just doesn't work out and time just is lost. Jesus is inviting us today to grab hold of truth. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.